Hello everyone, welcome to the Graps and Claps podcast. Once again, we're in Huddersfield for Tidal Wrestling, the Iron Will tournament. We've just got the one person here at the moment. It's a new guest this weekend. Hello, Mike.
Hi, everyone.
Our resident Tidal correspondent.
Yeah.
How are you doing, mate?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon now. So, yeah, not too bad.
Good stuff. Jeff's there. Have you got the crisps in? Don't worry, I've got...
A thumbs up from Jeff for the crisps.
He's gone to the Polish shop round the corner, which has a cracking selection of beer. Really good selection. So, Huddersfield returned once again. Last time on the podcast, we were in the King's Head, which is a very good pub.
Yep.
I had like a ginger pale ale, which had a tinge of ginger. I would have rated it about 4 stars on Untappd. They had some on Lord's Brewery, which is in Huddersfield, in somewhere called Goldcar.
All right, yeah, Goldcar, yeah.
You ever been to Goldcar?
Yes, yeah, I didn't know it was a brewery there, no, but yeah. How was your ginger? Because if I ordered a beer with ginger, I'd expect a heft of ginger rather than just a touch.
Yeah.
How was it?
I think the barman said it's a bit of a mild taste, but it's actually pretty all right. Sometimes with ginger, you know, when you get Canada Dry from the from like the shop, and it's like, ooh, hit the back of the tonsils. This one, bit kinder on the old palate.
The Canada Dry, that's what I used to think beer tasted like. Because my dad, when I was little, my dad used to have a drinks cabinet and he had Canada Dry in it. And he said ginger ale on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I used to drink, me and my brother, when they went to bed, used to sneak it out and drink it thinking it was ale.
Yeah.
Beer. And so that's what we thought beer tasted like.
It's like me with Shandy. Yeah. Getting Bass Shandy.
Just before
school and thinking... I'm a right piss head,
yeah.
With me 0.0002%.
Yeah, you'd have to drink about 1,000 cans to get this.
Yeah, yeah. I always felt like the hard man drinking Bass Shandy. Now a bit of Lord's Brewery as well, which was they had some like 10.5% Imperial Stout on in there, and I was intrigued. They had like 4 of their beers on. Nice to see a bit of local beer on in there.
Yeah.
Very similar in Cheltenham this past week, where they had Acorn, the Day of Brewery, Steady Rolling Man, and like Bristol Beer Factory, which is not far away from Cheltenham. Before there, we went to the Cherry Tree, which is the Wetherspoons.
Yeah, one of the two Wetherspoons. But it's still very small, but it manages to host two Wetherspoons.
Would you say, being a local, the Cherry Tree's the rougher one?
Yeah. I would, yeah. I mean, I do nip in now and again, especially when I've had a new breakfast, but Lord Wilson...
Lord Wilson, yeah.
That's probably the nicer one.
Yeah. They've currently got their International Beer Festival on, which ends today on the 17th of March when this is being recorded. Actually, Wetherspoons beer isn't too bad. I know it gets a bad rap for undercutting all the breweries and what have you. But beer's not too bad.
Yeah, they usually have a decent selection on there.
For $1.99 with your camera voucher. Can't moan at that. Next up was the...
County?
The County, which is the place owned by the Sportsman Beer House people.
Yeah, it's a beautiful Art Deco decorated place. Lovely inside.
Second birthday as well. They had their old party hats on. They had a beer on which... I think they've done in collaboration, or you know, a bit of a good deal, and with Nightjar, which is in Hebden Bridge, which is like a small boozer in the town of Hebden Bridge.
Yeah, they had a few of theirs on. They had the IKEA one.
Lost in IKEA.
Lost in IKEA.
And that, I think they said they're going to do a brewery tour and go and make an actual beer there.
Yeah, yeah.
which, yeah, good thing. And they also had a bit of Sure Shot Brewery on, which if you are in Manchester, go and visit, because it is a lovely tap room. And pretty cheap as well, for, like, going to tap room and what have you. Some obscure indie bands on in here that probably only Mike knows. They had a band on called The Blinders.
Blinders. You know The Blinders? You'd like The Blinders.
Okay. So we left the county. Very good place to go to, and went to the parish in Huddersfield. How many there? How many did Ben count up on the ready record?
I think it's about 100.
Yeah, around about, yeah. More seating at the back where we were.
Well, yeah, they moved the commentary desk away from where the back of the room to like the side of the entrance, not far away.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
a new configuration again.
I don't know 100% whether that was even a commentary desk.
Right.
Because, as we, I think it was being mentioned before, why they don't show these shows anywhere other than clips on YouTube, so there isn't actually any particular need for commentary, especially like, if you're going to pay someone for commentary.
What's the point?
Yeah.
So this is actually, I'm going off Mr. Corrigan's notes, as he's had to get the train after the show. Show 801 for him. 64th Tidal Wrestling Show here at the parish.
64.
Bloody hell, it's getting up to as many as what was at the Temple of Boom.
Are you sure it's not just
No, I think you're saying it's the 64th Tidal show.
Oh, catch my... Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought he's been more than what he's been.
Yeah, there's not been 64 here, has there?
No.
Well, we missed 2 years and they could have had about 25 in that in that time. 95 here in the afternoon. Shall we get into the first match, anywho? Which was a HD Drake Open Challenge. So HD Drake come out, said he's got 45 minutes left to get this match fitted in before he had to move his car. And out came Zio Knox, of the Landed Gentry fame of North Wrestling. What did you think, Jeff?
I think there was a spot in HD Drake's car from Newcastle. No, but honestly, nice to see Zio Knox in a singular setting. And what a performance he put up.
Correct.
Some of his manoeuvres, you know, like literal like explosive claws, like what I was in, and the selling what he did when he got thrown into the turnbuckle.
It was the John Woo, weren't it?
Oh my God, his head and the neck snapped back. I felt for him there. Christ almighty. Yeah, took it like a champ.
I will say he was all right because he was sitting downstairs having some food, but no, he did well. Didn't he do well?
Yeah, no, completely fine as Norton.
Mike?
I mean, I think I've said this on the podcast before, but for my money, HD Drake is one of the best wrestlers in the country. I've never seen him have a bad match. He was great today. I think there's like a tendency to think, well, sometimes he's on the card because he's brought the ring, because obviously he owns one of the very few rings in
British wrestling. To be honest, yesterday, Mike, we seen on the same show James Mason, who owns a ring, and Tyson T-Bone, who owns a ring, and we thought they were going to have a fight off for the ring.
A ring off.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he's absolutely brilliant.
Bring in HD Drake, and this is not a three-way dance.
I'm amazed he doesn't get more work elsewhere, to be honest, because I think he's fantastic. The other guy,
Zio,
first time seeing him. At first I thought he was pretty brave / stupid, having kind of a Tory gimmick on the same show that Spike Trevet was going to be on.
Yeah.
But as people pointed out, and then became apparent when Spike wrestled, Spike's he was never kind of definitively Tory, but he's also moved further away from that into just more kind of a darker, kind of
sinister
kind of character.
He's a vulture.
So yes. I guess there is space for that.
Well, when you're a vulture, you're not like a dominant bird, are you? You're just like coming and picking the bones.
Exactly.
I always, not to go too far ahead on Spider-Man, but When he come out in that mask at Rev Pro and started running around in the ring, running around the ring as his entrance, I always thought he was a bit like the child catcher in the play Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
where the child catcher would actually go round the theatre and go up like the highway and scare all the kids.
The other thing I'd say about that gimmick is that a few years ago when Spike was doing, and whether he intended it or not, everyone was associating him with being a Tory.
Yeah.
Everyone hated the Tories. And now I think we've got to a spot where, I don't know if people hate, everyone's just fed up, he's kind of tired and bored. So I don't know if that gimmick has the same impact now as it would have done. But he put in a very good wrestling performance, and I really enjoyed this match.
I would tend to agree with that. I thought this was better than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Zio Knox was excellent in his role. Ben Port, generally good all-action opener. These two give it everything. It was a bit of a sprint, but a good sprint of a match. Very good.
I think you kind of mentioned it, but the end of the match, it's like an HD Drake triple move. I think he did a suplex.
It was the diving double,
like John Woo into the fucking triple move,
just
and
impact.
It just seemed fucking intense.
Yeah,
and it was brilliant end to the match.
So next up was for the tag team titles of Title Championship Wrestling, which was Chase the Ace, Ace Matthews, and Chase Alcala, defending the titles against Adonis Payne and the one and only, with a new theme tune, Wrestling Memes.
Memes. Yeah.
What did you think, Jeff?
I put together a tag team. Just a bit of a shocking end to it, I think, to be honest, because you didn't see that one coming.
No.
I'll be honest. There must be reasons why they'll be explained maybe in the next show, you know. Yeah, it's okay. I like Chase Ace as a tag team. I think they work really well together.
Michael.
Yeah, well, this is my problem is that, who would he faces and who would the heels here? I mean, I'm not someone who thinks you have to slavishly, you know, adhere to those kind of roles, but the crowd were cheering Chase Ace when he came out.
They were, yeah.
And then they ended up, you know, being quite heelish in the match and then benefiting from Meme's turn. So I was a bit confused. Again, it was one of these things. They're not really tag teams, are they? They're four single wrestlers thrown together.
Who just happen to be acquaintances.
Yes. I thought it was an entertaining match. I actually think in these tag team matches, it probably gives Ace a better chance to show his wrestling ability because he's not solely relying on his character slash personality. I thought...
Chase Alexander did this drop kick to Adonis Payne that just, oh, he just flew, didn't he?
Chase was the guy who impressed me most out of the match.
Yeah,
I'll be honest. Memes, I know you're going to say you loved him or thought you were impressed by him.
Well, you spoilt it now, Mike.
For me, yeah, he wasn't bad, but there was, you know, nothing about it that really stood out for me.
Myself, now I've been a big, you know, critic of Memes in this company, but I will say he did the simple stuff right and he didn't look shit for a change. I thought he looked alright here. Did the simple things right. Adonis Payne, who initially I thought, he's okay, but I thought his tag team partner, who was that Artemis at the time, I thought outshone him. I think he's very good.
He's coming into his own.
He was good.
The more you see him, and the more you get invested. I think he's one of the better wrestlers in time. Out of the new crop that's coming.
I do.
I still hate the name.
I want to ask you a question now, Jeff.
What do
you hate more, Adonis Payne or Leighton Buzzard as a name?
Telling you what, till there's a wrestler called Milton Keynes, they're both on a fucking on a par. Yeah, the name grates me.
Yeah.
It's just so cheesy.
Yeah.
I think once you get to be a serious wrestler,
yeah,
you know, you can't be having a duff name like that.
Yeah.
But saying that, seeing him over the few months that we have over time, I'm getting really impressed with Adonis Pearce.
He's one who I think, you know, when we hitch our wagon to someone, it goes wrong, but I probably hitch my wagon to him. He's impressed me.
Well, apparently he's just left his boots in the middle of a title ring.
One thing I'll tell you about memes is,
he turned on Adonis at the end.
He turned, obviously. Turned
and I think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, well, time will tell, but I've not been particularly overwhelmed by him as a babyface, so let's give him a shot as a heel. I think, you know, it seems to me perhaps he has, you know, the inherent traits of a heel rather than a face. So yeah, we'll see how that goes.
So Memes turned on Adonis mid-match, hitting him with an RKO and the pedigree, then walked off and then chased the ace, and he'll get in the victory. There was a bit of an after thing with Ace and Taj, the owner of Tidal, about a 64-team tournament, which I was like...
He's asking her to apologise.
For not giving him a title shot back.
I think that's pretty much it. And like, she's apologised to the Tidal fans, but she won't apologise to him.
Yeah.
Just like a wrestler versus owner. Is he Ace Matthews, Stone Cold, Steve Ace. Austin against Vince McMahon? In a different guise, who knows?
Let's see how it goes.
I'm not a huge fan of the owner slash promoter slash booker being involved in an angle, except in exceptional circumstances, because then it seems really important. Yeah. And I don't know if this merited
that. Next time, Matthews demands an apology for Taj. For some reason, she refuses, and we have a match set up for next time where each pick a wrestler to represent them, and Ace picks the suspended Natalie Sykes, who attacked Taj.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that kind of thing. I just wasn't clear why this conflict was happening in the first place.
Yeah. So. Unless you're following online through Wrestling with Jonas, you haven't got a fucking clue.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's how it'll stay.
Not to say, but
a 64 tag team tournament would have been ace, wouldn't it?
Well, no, because that would have been pairing everybody up together for the 128 person tournament.
five star
wrestling was going to do until they run out of money on the six shot.
Yeah,
allegedly.
Although, just telling, I don't think Taj on the microphone was too bad, considering that's not her job.
Yeah.
You know, I thought she did a decent job there.
Title GM ring announcer Mike Mad Dog Angus clarifies that it will actually be an 18 tournament over the next few shows to determine the next tag challenges.
Well, they've lowered the sights then by literally a quarter.
I will make a comment here. Tony Khan booking two tournaments in three shows.
I'll say that, but it's an eighth. Before Matt's fucking wankers fucking tweet you.
I don't mind it. I you know, tournaments in wrestling is my thing. You know, it's supposed to be a sport at the end of the day, you know, so I'll always get behind a tournament.
Well, I don't know. Have you seen AEW?
Yeah.
How many fucking tournaments have been going on in that fucking
place? Yeah, I like that. Gives a point to the matches without, you know, someone like, oh, you spilled my hair gel or something. Yeah. Can you spill hair gel?
Well, not for you, Mike.
Bit beard oil.
Unless you put it on your beard. Yeah.
Shall we get into the next match, which was for the Tidal World Championship early doors, with Scotty Rourke defending his title against...
He's all sensitive now. He's moving his cap around. I'm going to take it off.
I'm proud.
Scotty Rourke defending his title against the Rolls Royce Miles Kamen. Jeff.
This was everything we expected.
Correct.
Absolute banger. Fast-paced action. Both of them on point.
That early exchange where there was ducking clotheslines and going under each other, and you were just surprised. Quick, aren't they?
Oh, fucking rapid and so smooth, the pervert. It was just like liquid fucking gold.
Yeah.
Compare that to some of the stuff that we've seen over the weekend, yeah. Night and fucking day.
Fester's and, not doing that, lad.
Oh no, I can't see. I can't. Well, I can see him doing it and then just slapping somebody with a plastic hand at the end of it. But honestly, God, when you see that and the standard what they're up to some people. Some people are reaching, have got to go that hell of a fucking distance.
Yeah.
You know, it's like watching like Eric the Eel in it, you know, in the Olympics, you know, doing a bit of a fucking doggy paddle compared to fucking Michael Phelps. Just night and day, watching it live in front of your face, just the fucking speed and precision what these guys have.
Yeah.
Top level stuff. Absolute fucking top level.
I take it you liked it.
I really enjoyed this match, yeah.
Oh, I went for a point.
The thing I'd say, obviously, we've not mentioned is that towards the end of the match, Miles came in, took out the ref, then hit Scotty Rock with a belt, but still lost the match. But up until that point, I'd been thinking, well, Miles is the heel here, but he's not being particularly heelish. And I quite enjoy that. It was just like a one-on-one, mano-a-mano, you know, the best wrestler wins. And then, obviously, it went completely kind of TNA, kind of, you know, heel tactics. Which, I can kind of get it, but it's a bit of a shame because I was really enjoying the contest up to that point. Miles Kamen's one of those guys who, I don't know how old he is, he seemed... Seems like I've been watching him for years, yet he's still really
22.
Young. Yeah. So I think he's got a good future. He's got a good look. He's got a good kind of character. Presence. And obviously he can go in the ring. Scotty Rock, for me, is one of those guys a bit like H.D. Drake, where you're like, well, he's a top guy in lots of smaller promotions.
Yeah.
When's he going to take that step up to... Your Rev Pro, your progress, things like that.
He has had one shot at Rev Pro in, it was Southampton or Portsmouth.
It was against
show.
Robbie X.
Against Robbie X in the opener, as generally Robbie X matches are, the opener.
I think he's better than a lot of people on the Rev Pro progress. I could
see him definitely fitting into Rev Pro.
It's like Rev Pro have been doing a bit of talent scouting, haven't they? And probably, I don't know if they have any influence on that. Probably not.
Probably not.
No, they've always been taking them to like these 229 shows or the
Sheffield.
You know, the lower down card Sheffield shows and giving them a chance. And that's what I like to see. We've always been saying, haven't we, like, you know, the NGW, that side of the coin. They never get the chance of fucking fantastic wrestlers, but they never get a shot at the progress on Rev Pro. And the Rev Pros have started using them now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I commend them for that. I hope that a lot more get the chance. But correct. Miles came, fucking hell. Obviously, when we seen him at Tide, when we waxed lyrical about it, he'd come back. His look, you know, his presence, his wrestling ability.
He's
a fucking star. The lad should be everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's a bloody shame if he isn't.
Yeah. As our good friend called Chris said, he's, as I put it on Twitter to Miles Kamen, the Rolls Royce. Smooth as silk.
I suppose you can take this as a bit of a backhanded compliment, but he seems to me to be a natural heel.
Yeah.
He's just got that kind of look and charisma.
Yeah.
When
he was last in Tidal, I think this is his first appearance since the Boom days. He was just in like the Grapple pre-show or whatever. Grapple Wrestling pre-show.
Yeah. So it just shows in the few in the years in between the absolute progress he's made, and still only a young lad, even though you think he's been around for a time.
Yeah.
Still got, you know, miles and miles and miles more on the clock.
But I think, as Mike said, the TNA finish, it's creeped in about four times into these title matches now.
The thing that bugs me, I know...
That's what bugged me.
The thing that bugs me, and I know we can, you know, you can go overboard in bringing logic into wrestling, which is supposed to be ultimately just entertainment, but Sandy Beaches, a ref came out, because the other ref was knocked down, to carry on, count the three count. Ultimately, it didn't work for Miles Kamen, but like, well, hang on. Why is she seeing that the ref's down, but not that he's used a belt and should be disqualified?
Yeah.
You know, it's just those kind of things just drive me up the wall. But.
Just like logic goes out the window sometimes.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Shall we get into the next thing anyway? Scotty Rowe won that one to retain his belt. Next up, Angus Mad Dog announces that neither Dereys or Artemis, scheduled for today's four-way Iron Will tournament final, are here today, so we're out of the match. Angus says there will be replacements, and here comes Ian Skinner, guy in the big fur coat and shades. Then Dara Diablo comes out as well. They have a bit of a kerfuffle. Angus says one of the replacement spots in the final has been assigned to Adonis Payne. Then puts both Dara and Ian Skinner, who had that kerfuffle, said, balls it, you go in the five-way. So there you go.
So you didn't even have to qualify to get into it.
No.
It rendered the whole tournament completely pointless.
Yeah,
correct.
That's the thing, that's the problem I have with it.
Shame, really, because obviously, kayfabe.
One's going from Leicester to Huddersfield to Coventry, whereas like two of the three of them are on the same side of the country.
Exactly, and obviously wrestling for a larger promotion in the main event.
I think the first time, it was third match.
Fucking hell.
Hi, Crossbody Connects!
I have to say, in defence of title, I mean, there's not much I'm going to defend from this match for title in any kind of the booking sense, but like if someone is booked into that like big title match,
and known beforehand,
and then they back out and go, no, I'm off to another promotion for that show. Okay, I get it could be more money, it's more exposure, but for me, I think that's tight. I don't. That's harsh. You know.
Yes, you'd be going, well, I'm sorry, I can't use you for next show, won't you?
Yeah.
You know, you'd be turning it around and saying, look, yeah, I understand, etc., well, etc., but you left me in a
pickle. Well, that's just to remember back to the good old days. CCK were booked for Tidal, weren't they? Brooks and Lycos.
Eddie Kingston.
Yeah. But it was more the Brooks and Lycos thing. And I remember it was the same day, it might have been the same day as a Progress show, and they ended up taking the Progress booking. And not coming to Tidal. Tidal never used them.
Never used them again, yeah.
That was the same, Eddie Kingston. Like, Ian was desperate to have Eddie Kingston on him twice. He kind of. I mean, I know, you know, these things people have got to make a living and it's better money.
As they say, at the bottom of the finger, the little asterisk, cards to change. Also with Artemis as well, she was in an Arnold building championship, got third place. Apparently got an injury through that. So, I don't know, maybe it's not getting enough gravy browning off your skin to come and wrestle.
But on the flip side,
you know, stained all the sheets at home.
But on the flip side, maybe it's, you know, being a bit more savvy in your booking to book a tournament final with people who you know are not going to be going elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's delicate.
Or if you wanted replacements, there was five Americans in Preston last night.
But the thing that comes back to this is,
honestly, Jeff, if one of them came out, I would have been fucking running around the room.
It wasn't just the people being replaced suddenly expanded to a five-man match, which didn't make any sense whatsoever.
No. It was like you had two people who were probably maybe watching the show just to say, have you got your gear? You know, you're both involved.
Yeah.
Hey-ho.
Anywho, next up, second half, starting with Nina Samuels defending her title women's championship against Gia Adams, who comes out to the great Dicer K Sekimoto music, the Rascals music, and the Gia Adams music. Nina Samuels, Jeff's probably going to wax lyrical about old Nina again.
Probably.
Michael?
So I was thinking about this when I was watching. So, in a title ring, you've had Nina Samuels and Sam Bradwell, who are both NXT UK.
Yes.
And I can't decide whether it's kind of a chicken and egg situation. Were they, for me, those two are clearly a cut above in terms of their ability, their professionalism, their character, everything you want from wrestling. So is it because they were in NXT UK and had the advantage of that training and experience, or is it they got to NXT UK because they were at that level?
I think they were already at that level, to be honest. We saw Gradwell at GPW and he was smashing out the park. Nina was Nina was one of the top ones on, say, not progress scene, but like Eve, I would say.
But neither of them, for me, stood out in NXT UK.
No.
So you're thinking, oh, maybe
but
not.
But they had characters.
Yes. Then when you see them in person, you're like, actually, they're amazing.
They literally came out of the better than when they went in.
Yes, yeah,
you
I'd
remember
agree,
with
yeah.
Gradwell, the first tournament where it was Pete Dunne was beating him up, etc. And then the TV exposure, how things work, and etc, etc. They actually built on that and came out better workers for me. And that's why, when you see him now, you're going, yeah, he's fucking excellent.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely excellent. Just a bit of polish.
I enjoyed the match. The only thing I'd maybe say is that I don't necessarily buy Gia Adams as a babyface.
No.
I think she's perfectly suited to a heel.
Yeah.
So in this match when she's playing the face, I don't know. But she's good. I'm surprised again. Theme here. Surprised I don't see her more places more often.
Yeah.
But for this for me, Nina again just stood head and shoulders above most other people on the card.
Bit of a screwy finish, Jeff. Handful of tights, eye rake.
Well, it's a heel winning, isn't it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Nina is
I think it were good.
Yeah, Nina's the belt collector of Britress at the moment, where she's got just women's championships all over the shop. I mean, she must be running out of Brasso at this moment for fucking college. You know, she's no time for her partner, for wherever she lives, so, you know, doing a bit of dusting, because she's just shining all the belts up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Nina Samuels, she's the preeminent women's worker in Britress. If not, I'll tell you this now, if not, you're not in the country, I think.
Yeah.
You can have your import Brits, like your Ospreys and that, but they're a meat and potatoes worker out there every weekend. Nina Samuels is the one.
Yeah, if I was, say, AEW, I'd be looking at her seriously.
So, Nina Samuels gets the victory here. Shall we get into our next match, which was Joe Blazer versus the one and only Spike Trevae? The Progress fans were out in force in that building today. Oh, you just think, fuck off sometimes. But I will say, this was a little banger today.
Yeah.
Really good, really good. Joe Blazer, he's a different wrestler, isn't he? Old Big Guns Joe.
Character reinvention, Andrew. That's what they call it.
Absolute different look and feel, character-wise. Enjoyed him.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Big Guns Joe thing was getting a bit tepid, to say the least, you know, and changed it up. And it's working. It's absolutely working for him.
Say, changing your character so completely that he did is a hell of a gamble, especially at this level. Because you know we and the people we're going to shows with were always behind Big Guns Joe. We thought he was a great character, great gimmick. He was a great guy, performed in the ring. So it's always a gamble to change things up, but it's paid off. You know, he's embraced this new character completely. You can't even imagine him as Big Guns Joe now.
No, can you? Hell no.
So you know, well done to him. Good luck to him. And this was a really good match.
Trevae. I think it worked well, this.
Yeah.
Much better than last time. You know, where they were giving out, throwing out 5 stars for Spike Trevae and Ali Hudson, which I think all three of us said, well, I think me, Jeff and Ben were a bit like awkward and just thought they were all right, but he weren't spectacular. I thought he was much better here. He just continued with his wrestling more than doing shouting or you're not worthy.
Playing
up
to the crowd.
Yeah.
The other thing I'd say is, you know, Spike's incredibly talented. He's one of the best wrestlers on the British scene today. I just didn't get why he was in kind of a random match. You know, where's that going? You know, why is he not challenging for the title? Why was he not in the Iron Will tournament? Things like that, you know. He's that good that he should be, you know, at the top of the card and challenging for titles.
It's depending where other companies put him. I mean, you can see that across the two big ones, can't you? Where one's putting him in the main event and the other one's keeping him like rather mid.
Rather the bottom.
Rather mid card, yeah. And is it like different booking philosophies between the two companies, which obviously it is, or. Well, you know what I mean. Like one, you've got to work your way up. The other one, he's already there, and probably the same on here. You know, it's like he's picking up victories. You know, against credible opponents, so it's readying himself for maybe the big pushing time.
Yeah. People were cheering him, weren't they?
Well, some people just like to go against the grain, don't they?
Yeah. I think, as Ben said though, it wasn't as organic as yesterday.
No.
Where everyone turned against Rossi Vasquez.
No, it wasn't a patch on that. I think just some people had had a few too many scoops that weren't us and just like to go against the grain, cheering for somebody probably that you see more familiar.
On progress.
See more familiar than Joe Blazer.
You always run the risk of, if you're a smaller promotion, you're bringing in a bigger name as a heel, people will cheer them just because they know who they are.
Yeah.
That's always a gamble you're going to take.
But that, then again, if you're in the ring, that's on the other person to make them
go for you
as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, we've all seen examples of that where in the ring they turn that round.
Yes.
So Spike Trevé won with the double underhook Tomorrow Driver. What a great name. And a series of nasty elbows and knees to get the victory here.
So presumably, logically, that would give him a title shot against Scotty Rock.
Well, it's got to do along
it's
the way.
It's got to do. There's one conjecture, though. The most dangerous man in Europe is not Spike Trevé.
It's Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Putin.
But looking at it, I felt, for me, this was probably the best match of the night.
I would say that.
There was no bollocks, and it was just a straight wrestling match, and the... I thought this was tied
with Scotty Rock and
Miles Kamen.
And I thought this was Spike Trevé's best showing as well.
Yeah.
It's better that there was, obviously, with the Harley Hudson match, and obviously being, I'm not saying intergender wrestling, but I just did. You know, the awkwardness, there was no awkwardness in it, but obviously, you know, it was just a straight, you know, balls to the wall contest.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Yeah, I think two very good matches there. Next up was the 5-way 20-minute Iron Man match to determine the first ever title Iron Will champion. Whoever's got the most falls in 20 minutes wins the Iron Will champion. And it's an Iron Man match with five people and no one's counting scores until the next 5 minutes, where it might be three falls, it might be two falls, it might be four falls, who knows. With Smashing Mike, Vucic, Adonis Payne, Dario Diablo, and Ian Skinner. Overall, as a presentation and as a match, Mike, where did this sit with you?
This was like, you oscillate wildly between two extremes on this, because there was so much about it that was infuriating and so much about it which was brilliant. Yeah, the actual in-ring action was great, you know, and there's some really good stuff. They completely lost track of who had how many falls or submissions or whatever, so that was a bit mad. And then the end was just basically Vucic and
Adonis
just them two for the last like 5 minutes or so.
I didn't actually see smashing Mike. I thought he got his fucking car and gone home. In danger of a parking ticket.
But before that, there was some really good, like, multi-man action, and it was really exciting.
Of course, I think everybody played the part, and everybody got the stuff in and got the pin followed, etc. If nobody was keeping score till Mad Dog got his clipboard out, started taking scores, but he was going at then three, and then we go, no, it's four. Yeah, it was just an absolute fucking piss poor selection of.
I said at the beginning, I said to you, Vucic has to win this surely, because not only is he over with the crowd, it's the entire concept of I will just suits his character completely. Yeah. So we got to the right result in the end. It was just kind of an odd way of getting there.
I think also the other thing for me is a 20-minute Iron Man match. 20 minutes Greg Valentine just getting fucking warmed up.
He's no chance, has it?
He's no chance if he ever come over for Love of Wrestling. So yeah, 20 minutes, not long enough, but I sort of, the concept is obviously who can ever get the most pinfalls in an allotted time, innit? And then keeping score of who's got fucking got him as well. It's always a bonus. The right result, I think Vucic deserves it. He's been one of the standouts in title
for a
good few fucking months now. You know, gets eyes on him. But do I want to see another Iron Will match where that title's defended? And I've got to say, fucking no, I don't.
Well, it wasn't made particularly clear if that's the conditions under which the title is defended, or whether it's just another kind of.
Is it like that belt off NXT where it's 2-1 to the winner?
The one thing I lied that Ben mentioned, because Ben's not here, so I'll throw in Ben's thoughts on this, which I agree with, is that
he's wrote War and Peace on it.
Is that for like the what they call the Vucinator,
yeah, the Terminator of title.
Oh, Terminator of title, and the winner, he joined the match, took too many pinfalls.
Yeah.
He should have just been dominant guy, came in and wiped the floor with everyone and won the title.
Yeah, I get it, unless it's setting up different challenges for the next time.
Yeah, but no one knows who pinned who, so that would
be any fucker, couldn't it?
I'll just give my final thoughts on this, whatever they matter. I think it just should have been like whoever's the winner at the end, whoever gets the last pinfall wins the belt. I think just less complicated.
You're setting yourself up for a fall, aren't you? Trying to count
the pins. Yeah. Even Mad Dog would keep it. Even Mad Dog would lose in count at times. Yeah. It just felt like for the first 12 to 13 minutes of this match are just people just finishes, spamming finishes, and I know the case is you've got to get a pin, but it's sort of in a way it nullifies actually having a 20 minute match where one pin just kills someone.
Giving their finisher and then the next person do their finisher and then knocking them out, but then they're coming back into the match to take the finisher.
Yeah.
Finishers are like obviously at the end of the match for everybody in a normal circumstance.
Yeah.
Whereas this, it was just like somebody's taking it right, bang, your next. You know, just racking up these pins that nobody was taking any, you know, marking it down or anything. Yeah. We've taken all these pins, it seemed a bit for naught till the last, like I said, 5 minutes when we were just Vucic and on his pin.
Yeah. I'm glad Vucic's won. If it's an Iron Man Iron Man-like title, so where you have to get the win in 20 minutes.
It's probably something where you've got to defend it in 20 minutes and keep your title by getting the most pinfalls against their number of opponents.
Yeah.
Whether it be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or fucking 68 in the tag team tournament.
See, I don't mind that. I like, there's so many titles in wrestling, so I like titles that differentiate themselves from something else, so they have specific rules. Mm. I prefer to see that defended one-on-one. if it's only going to be a 20-minute match. But I do, if that's going to be the case, I do like the concepts behind that. It separates it out from other titles, definitely.
Vucic obviously won the title, and they had the people slapping the mat at the end. Turning into progress this show. They'll be doing a conga next.
There's one side you can't get round.
Yeah, well,
they'll all be backing up like like lemons.
But myself overall as a show, I thought actually pretty good.
Pretty good.
Scotty Rourke and Miles Kane and Spike Trevay and Joe Blazer, I think, are your two matches to really take out of this. I think the issue with Tidal, even though the ring action is good, sometimes they overcomplicate it to fuck. I think that's the issue I've come from away from this show.
But that's
just a slight criticism. I think the rest of it has been generally all right today.
Yeah, like you said, the in-ring action is good, so let people just get in the ring and have a match. The one thing I will say is when this new version of Tidal started, they used a lot of different wrestlers. And they seem to have weeded out the ones that weren't working and the ones that were, and they've kind of now got a core of good wrestlers, and then they bring in the odd person for this match, that
which
match.
Which indeed, it's people that you can follow month to month, isn't it? Instead of going, here's somebody else from down south, etc. Prince Dean, you've not seen him for blowing bubbles out his ass somewhere else. There were people like that. They were probably introducing a lot of people to go, here you go, who do you like? See who the fans take to. And then we'll book them again, and work it out that way.
You're still pretty much guaranteed a good show if you come and see time.
Thoughts, Jeff? Final thoughts?
Obviously,
you enjoyed a seat.
Oh, I love it. I love a good seat, Daddy. For the I Am Will thing, it was never truly explained, I think, online or even at the shows, what it actually was, I think, it's probably a fucking work in progress.
But you touch on a thing. Don't assume, I don't watch, apart from maybe the odd tweet, I don't look at anything to do with Tidal online. I don't watch videos or anything like that. And I can't be the only person, especially these people that come with families, because they're moving more into the family kind of market, a lot of kids there. You have to explain what's going on to the people who are at the show.
It was sort of like a tournament to get into a four-way for 20 minutes to win a belt that we don't know how it's going to be defended. It's just like, ambiguity going into this thing, when sometimes wrestling fans just need it to be laid out on the line saying, what the fuck is the hell's happening, so we can follow it. What do you think, Andy?
I've already said it had its good bits, it had its bad bits.
Are you saying it sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit?
I did say about the sometimes they fall in too much into the overbooking.
There's a lot of good retirement, there's a lot of good action, a lot of good wrestling, a lot of good wrestlers that's mired sometimes in, like, promoters getting in the way for no apparent reason, stay out of the way, let the wrestlers do the wrestling, do the booking or whatever, but keep yourself out of it. And then a lot of convoluted shite, trying to be different to somebody else that doesn't work if you're not following it from, if you didn't go to London, you missed out on what's happening.
Well, that Iron Will tournament was a waste of £8 train fare if you went down to Manchester.
It was a fucking busted flush. And obviously, now...
At least the person who was involved in the tournament won the belt.
It's a bonus, so like Meatloaf said, 2 out of 5 ain't that.
But it were, you know, like you have the tournament and people can't turn up and always, you know, wrestling's cancelled, it's a chain. And it just fell apart like a house of cards.
Yeah.
But end of the day, the right result going forward, Busick won.
Yeah. So the next two shows of title we're not at. Due to being in Cleethorpes the night before and going to a concert for the next one. We're watching Keane at the Co-op Live. First time visit there. And the second one is because you're running head to head versus with GPW in Hindley, and there's only one promotion we're going to there, which is the old Hindley Graps, because it's closer as well.
Yeah, fair enough.
So we'll be back probably in about September for the next show here, which I think is after week after All In, according to Ben's notes on Twitter. So there you go.
Maybe Tiger will run a London show on the All In weekend.
October.
Well, they'll run fucking the Meat Wagon versus Reese and Rogan and the other fucking Brady Phillips versus Will Cruz, which is the matches we wanted to see when we got cancelled.
Correct.
But never mind.
Mike, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Cheers, Jeff. It's been emotional this weekend, as ever.
Oh, I've fucking had enough of wrestling now.
No more for 2 weeks.
Thank God for that.
Until Top Row Wrestling in Accrington.
Yes.
And also the big one, the Red Pro Rumble. At Good Evening, Your Call.
Oh, you can do better than that.
Yes. So, cheers, Jeff. Cheers, Mike. Thank you, and see you later.